listening to Catnap Dialogues, a show that features narratives from everyday people and their journey towards learning a language. I'm your host, Milo Falcone.
Hi, and welcome back to Catnap Dialogues. In today's episode, I have Teresa from the Philippines.
Teresa Alviso. So I was born in Lianga, Surigao del Sur, which is south of the Philippines. It's a little island. We're probably the closest big city is like 3 hours away. So we're like, it's like a sleepy town. Yeah, really far. So it will take me about a day and a half for travel to get there from New York. So usually it's JFK and to, let's say, Hong Kong or Japan. That's about 14. And then from there, another 5 hours to Manila. And then from, that's already 19, excluding the layover. And then you have to fly from Manila to the nearest airport is Davao, which is about, I think, 2 hours flight from Manila. And then we have to drive by car 4 hours, or 3 to 4 hours. So that's why it's about a day and a half. So usually I break the travel.
When people ask you, where do you consider yourself from? What do you answer normally?
Usually I just say people won't have an idea where my family is really from, so I would just say Cebu because that's basically where I spent most of my life because I went to school there. So I would just say Cebu.
And so what's your native language?
So we have a dialect in Lianga, which is called Kamayo, K-A-M-A-Y-O. And in Cebu, we speak Bisaya, which is another, I guess, I don't know if it is a dialect or a language, because the whole country speaks, in school we're taught Tagalog, which is our national language. You know, like growing up, we speak in our home, Bisaya, Kamayo, and another language where my mom is from.
Bisaya, Kamayo.
And then another language from where my mom is, because my mom is not from where, from Lianga. She's from the north that speaks another dialect. Because remember, Philippines is an island. So we have all different languages. So if you're in an island, people are not really as connected in the beginning. So we have different dialects.
I see.
So where my mom is from, she's from the north, from where we live, I grew up. So she has a different language. Surigao nun. You know that. So it's different also. So because of that, my dad is from Lianga, my mom is from the north, they speak different languages. So for both of them, it's more like a mix. So we speak Bisaya. And then after so many years of living there, then my mom spoke the local dialect, which is Kamayo.
What would you say is your first language?
I would say Bisaya more than Kamayo.
And then how many languages do you speak in total?
I don't know if you call it languages.
Yeah. I count dialects as languages because even if you're telling me that even among regions in the same country they don't understand each other, then it's basically
a language. So then I speak fluently Bisaya, then Kamayo, and then English. That's it. And I speak Tagalog. I forgot about Tagalog. So in the Philippines alone, I speak Kamayo, Bisaya, and Tagalog because I learned that in school. Then English. And then here, being in New York, I work with a lot of different people. So right now, I work with this Jewish community and they speak like Russian. So it's really interesting. I used to work with a lot of Spanish people. Then I learned Spanish and I speak Spanish. You know, it's like, your brain is just wired differently. Sometimes I feel like, okay, it gets mixed up when I come home. Because, you know, this is New York, you meet different people. So for some reason, my work right now, mostly because I work with a lot of Jewish family, and they're from, they're called Bukharian Jewish. So they're from the Southeast Asia part of Europe, all those countries. They're Jewish. They're called Bukharian Jewish. So they speak, a lot of them, because they're part of Russia before, they're part of USSR, so they speak Russian. So every day, or not every day, Monday to Friday, I work with those families because I work with babies. So their first language at home is, so, you know, Russian.
What do you do for a living?
Oh, I'm a physical therapist, pediatric. So I work for kids, and then this program called Early Intervention that specializes in kids from age 1, 0 to 3. So it's very like limited, you know, like this age group only. So I do physical therapy. So I work with kids with, let's say, motor delays. Like I have right now, I have 2 children that have stroke, like mild infarction. I know a lot of people don't know, but it's actually more common than you think. So I have 2 children that had diagnosed with mild infarction. So you've seen adults that have stroke, and so their arms are like, you know, tight. One side, so right now I'm working with a kid that, you know, can't move the right side of the hand or arm. Yeah, I know.
So
it's sad. Right.
All right. That's
or
cool.
It could just be like motor delays, you know, like there is no specific diagnosis, or it could be working with kids with autism, so like different. So, but as a physical therapist, we address the motor skills.
So anything has to do with motricity?
Yeah, right. Like teaching them how to walk, teaching them how to move from sitting to standing, or from rolling, like all that motor part of the development.
How many years have you lived in the United States?
I came here 1996. So I was 22 years old when I came. So I'm 47. That's correct. 25.
Do you think you have an accent?
I think so. I have an accent. Some people say, oh, you don't have an accent, but it depends. Like if I, just because now I work here in New York and I don't really work with all American white people, so it's different sets of people, and they can't, like some of them don't have proper English, it's different. So, but if I used to work in Long Island in a clinic, outpatient clinic, which I deal with adults. So at that time, it's mostly Americans, and I can feel that I think it was less accent. But now that I work with a lot of Russian family, like I work with grandma, sometimes nannies, they don't have English. They don't speak English. I have to, like, you know, shorten my English to make sure it's like more like understandable. Like, you know, I won't say that, like what, how we're talking. So I have to make it, cut it short, so people can understand me because they don't speak English.
Right.
So especially the nannies.
You have to simplify.
Right. You say, you know, did the baby sleep or did the baby eat? I can't say that. I will just say eat, and then I do a sign language or it's translated in Russian, for example, or, you know.
So like, sometimes, oh, that's interesting. So that leads me to kind of question, like, how language can be a barrier, and now you understand
right.
that very much. So
right.
besides simplifying, you're using gesticulation, right? So you're
right.
gesturing a lot.
Right. And it helps a lot nowadays that we have the translate, the
Google
translate on our phone. So it helps when I need to speak to them, then I just talk and they talk. So then I read the translation, so it's much easier.
I wanted to also ask Teresa, when and where did she first learn English?
I guess since elementary, preschool, because in Philippines, English is our second language, basically. So everything is taught in English. So our books are in English, except if it's a Filipino class. Otherwise, everything is in English. So most of my life, like school life, I was always, you know, reading and writing in English. Go online, Philippine news, most of them, newspapers are in English, actually. Yes.
That sounds kind of colonizing.
But it's much easier, like when I write letters or messages to my siblings, to my mom, I don't write in Filipino or Bisaya, Camayo, or Tagalog. I write in English. It's easier, shorter, easy to spell. So, and they understand. Everyone understands because you learn it from, you know, elementary, preschool. In the Philippines, not everyone speaks English. You know, there are some people, especially people that didn't go to school, like really the poor people, that I'm sorry, but they don't go to school at all. Like some of them like lives in the mountain. Like I know where I grew up in Lianga, there are certain area that they're mountainous, right? And if this is how I remembered back then, so this was like back in 80s, 90s. So they live there. And they basically live in a farm or whatever they're doing. So I know they're uneducated, never went to school. And so they will come on Sundays and bring their products and sell. And most of them, they don't speak English. So they speak the native language. But we understand. So in the Philippines, there's a lot of people. Most of us are educated, but still, you know, it's a second language. We still consider it second language. Like, people can still speak to each other in Tagalog, or we can understand. So let's say from different islands, to communicate, they don't speak in English, but they communicate in Tagalog. So it's unlike India when you say that if they translate or they talk to each other more into English to understand each other. In the Philippines, I don't think it's English, it's Tagalog. Because like when I meet a Filipino here, it's like, do you speak Tagalog? I wouldn't say, you know, you speak right away in Tagalog because everyone understands Tagalog. So that's why English is our second language.
Now, as I usually do, I wanted to ask Teresa if she had ever felt different or was made to feel different because of the way she spoke English.
I don't think it's more of the way, because looking back, because I started in the South, in Tennessee, when I first came here. So the way they speak, from what I've, you know, from what I've grown up, is so different, because it's more of like a proper English. But in the South, they have an accent, number one, so it's hard for me to understand. And then secondly, they have terms that's so different than the American English or the Hollywood English, which we grew up, or TV, the one that, the shows that you watch when you're young. So it's so different. But when I started working there, I didn't feel like any different, except people just see you different color, more of my look than the way I speak. Right, because I can still express myself so they understand me, but I can feel more of like how I look. And then when they see me that you look different than us, then that's more of, to me, more of relevance being new to this country than my accent. But nowadays, I've been in New York since 1999. New York, you don't feel that, like, because you see different types of people, so no one notices you until you speak, as you said. Oh, okay, she has an accent. Because people, you know, there could be like someone that looks Filipino but has no accent because she was born and raised here. So people don't, you know, look at it as like, oh, okay, they just don't look at you like the way people look at you when I was in Tennessee or when I was in Pennsylvania, because I lived in Pennsylvania also, you know, like little towns. But accent, I don't think so. It's more of my color. The South would probably, because the way I pronounce the words, like I remember Taylor's family is from the South, my husband. So the mom cannot understand my accent as Taylor understands me. Like Taylor has to translate sometimes, because I remember when but she was also older at that time, so it could be a hearing issue, or it could be my accent. Because I think Taylor understands me well sometimes, but for the most part, like, we understand each other well.
I also wanted to ask Teresa which language she preferred to express herself in terms of emotions or anger. And this is what she had to say.
in English mostly, because I have, when I get angry, let's say with Taylor, my husband, I have no choice except to express my words in English. Yeah, I can express myself very well in English. You can ask my husband. Do I use the right words, Taylor? Sometimes that's actually an argument for us when, you know, we've been together for almost 10 years now. The first few years, it's really hard because aside from difference in culture, it's that communication is so different. Like the way he speaks, I see it different. I see it like it's so different. Like to me, it's more aggressive use of words. So now I understand much more, like what he's trying to say. It's not actually, you know, like the words, the choice of words is just different.
Now, a common experience that Teresa and I share is that we both lived in the South. We both felt a little different living down there versus living in New York City. We both have the experience that, well, in New York, really, people don't care about how you look or how you talk. So I wanted to inquire more about that experience, and this is what she had to say.
That was in 1996, 97. So it's so different because, number one, I was so young. I was 22 years old. I just came to this country. And aside from the shock of like, oh, wow, this is America. This is not what America that I thought of because of the America that I thought in the movies, TV shows. And it was so different. And then you turn on the radio, it's all like country music. And this is not the music that I was used to. So. And the accent is so different. Like, and I used to work with old people, like nursing homes. So their accents are really strong. At one point, there was this gentleman that asked me, pull my britches with an accent. I don't know how to. It's like, okay. So he was, and I didn't understand what he was saying because I am used to the word pants for pull my pants up.
Come on, I can pull my britches.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, what was he trying to say? So that was, like, it's really hard. And, you know, like, to me, it's like, oh, my God, where am I? So I have to translate a lot because I'm so new. So English you learn in school is different than the conversation English. It's so different. I'll give you an example. Like, I will never forget. Like, I was in the elevator, waiting for the elevator with, like, lots of people, this in the South. And the lady said, when the door opened, are you coming on? I was like, okay, what is she trying to say? Are you coming on? Because to me, I was like, are you coming on to the elevator? Because it's more of like a complete sentence. Like this is like fairly new in this country. So American English, I feel like it's lazy. They cut it short. Like, oh, so she was saying, are you coming on to the elevator? So in my head, what is she saying? Are you coming on? Okay. So that's like a challenge for me. You know, like a conversation English with my coworkers. I have to really pay attention to what, aside from the accent, the American English, dialogue, conversation.
Right.
It's different.
It is different. Right. I hated it when I first came to Texas. I had more of a Canadian accent.
Right.
And a lot of people would correct me and tell me like, why are you saying operation?
Right.
You know, why are you saying protect me? You know, it's protect. And, it, right. You know, that's how you say it down here. And I'm like, sure.
Right.
So I got a lot of bullying for that, I guess, in a way.
Because you were young.
I was younger.
Right.
And there's, you know, the little words that they, you know, they will say thing instead of thinking, you know.
Right.
Thing.
Right.
You know, they just eat all the A-N-I-N-G, the fixing to, the y'all, the draw.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but sometimes Taylor's, you know, forgets. And then he goes into this, like, Southern accent, and I can understand him sometimes. Like, what? What are you trying? Then he starts talking slower to me. It happens, you know, quite often in our everyday life. Because, you know, it's not as easy. Because no matter what you say, I was 22 when I came, so my brain is wired differently. People that speak different languages is wired different because, you know, no matter what you say, you still have to translate in some ways in your head. It's automatic, but it's not the same as people that speak English as their first language. And then now I speak Russian.
Finally, I wanted to ask Teresa if she had anything to share about the Philippines she thought would be interesting.
No, I think I'm very proud that Filipinos are, I think, one of the most open to experiences, to people, to different cultures, and we're more open-minded, I think, than most being friendly, warm people. That I'm very proud, because I know that working in a healthcare field, and I'm sure you've heard all over, like especially with COVID, you've probably heard a lot of nurses are Filipinos, and I think it's in the nature of Filipinos that were like very caring, I don't know, I couldn't say like good people in general, but for the most part, a lot of Filipinos are just like warm.
Wouldn't you say that's kind of like a stereotype though?
I guess in some ways, because you say like we're mostly in healthcare industry, a lot of Filipinos that migrated to different parts of the world, like Taylor would always say, oh, everyone is physical therapists or nurses or occupational therapists, because that's really how Filipinos able to migrate to other countries. So we have to have an education. So and the easiest way to come is being a nurse or whatever. Came here with work visa. That means that I have to pass all the exams to be able to continue with that visa. So I came here, I took an exam, a licensure exam, a national licensure exam, which means I can work anywhere in the States. And then after that, I applied for green card. And to be able to get the green card, you have to pass all this English exam, which is actually kind of frustrating because some people don't speak any English, but they get their green card. Because, you know, everyone is doing, if you get your green card through family, but I did mine through work. So my employer sponsored for my green card. And then once you get your green card, apply for the American citizenship. Come and visit Philippines. Yeah, but Philippines is a beautiful island, different kinds of people. And definitely safe to go and travel. My husband loves it there. You know, it's a beautiful place to visit. And it's not as dangerous as you see in the news, so.
To close this interview, I wanted to give you an interesting linguistic fact about the Philippines. The history of Tagalog language is one of the most complex out of all the languages in Southeast Asia, and it's due to its history. In fact, there are linguists who believe that Chinese, Spanish, and English have influenced the whole system since the Philippines is one of the countries where international trade usually happens because of the location. However, today, Filipinos speak, quote, Filipino as their official language. And Tagalog has directly shaped this one. But Filipino is considered as a modernized Tagalog, and it's mainly used by younger people. Well, and despite being only spoken in the Philippines, Tagalog is one of the most widely scattered languages globally, since there are so many Filipinos overseas. In fact, this is the reason why many citizens from the United States and Arab countries are so keen on learning how to speak Tagalog. Well, that's it for today. See you next time. This episode was produced by me, Milo Falcone. Special thanks to my guest. And music by DJ Young and Aiden. See you next time.